Welcome to Write Through the Roof, the podcast for writers who want to improve their craft. I'm Madeline Diest, and in this show, I'm interviewing writers of all different types and asking, what's that one thing that took your writing to the next level? So come and join me and learn all the proven tips, tricks, and techniques to take your writing right through the roof. Speaking with Karen Rose Smith. Hi, Karen. How's it going?
Hi, it's going great.
Excellent. So just a little bit of background about Karen. So Karen is an award-winning best-selling author of over 100 novels. She's been published through Silhouette, Harlequin, Kensington and Meteor Kismet. She writes romance, women's fiction and cozy mysteries. Her latest book, Murder with Lemon Tea Cakes, is out now and first in a brand new series. And Karen was just telling me that over Christmas last year, one of her books, His Country Cinderella, was made into a TV movie for the UP network called A Very Country Christmas. Well, thanks for coming on the show, Karen.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here.
Excellent. Okay, so how I like to start off is a few side bends, some kind of stretching to get warmed up. So before we get into the really hard questions.
Okay.
So with your 100 novels under your belt, I have to ask, are you a plotter or a pantser?
Definitely a plotter. I began writing because I was flat on my back for 4 years after back surgery.
Oh.
So to deal with the pain, that's what I did. So I need that synopsis, that outline, so every day I can pick it up and write, whether I feel like it or not.
Mm. Okay. And how in-depth are your synopsises?
They can range from 15 to 25 pages.
Oh, okay. Excellent. So what is your favorite time of the day to write?
Nighttime. Definitely, especially since my husband retired.
So he's out of the way.
I was alone for four. I was alone for 40 years to write during the day. So it changed when he retired. Yes.
Oh. And one last short question: do you have any writing rituals?
Well, the writing ritual has to do with that. After he's in bed, and we also have 5 inside cats, and after they settle down for the night, that's when I write, and I use a tape recorder to write.
So you dictate?
Yes.
Ah, so how did you find that transition to dictation?
It wasn't difficult. I did it because I was having more physical problems and I didn't want to sit at a computer or even write longhand. I was having some eye issues. Mm. So I just did it because I had to. And then once I started doing it, I liked it.
Mm. So do you get someone to transpose the tapes?
Yes, I have a friend who's a typist and then she transcribes it for me. And then I read the hard copy and edit it. But that's, the first draft she does.
Mm, okay. Because when I've tried to do dictation, what I've found is it almost changes the way that I write to actually say it aloud.
Yes.
rather than thinking while I'm typing.
There's more editing involved with the taping. Either, she gets a word wrong or I think of a description that I want to insert, but I just put it where it is so I have it. So there's more editing involved with the taping, but yet the writing itself goes much faster.
Mm, I imagine it would. And did it take you a while to transition to being that efficient?
No. No, it really didn't. I took to the tape recorder right away.
Mm, you must be a real oral storyteller.
Not usually, but when I'm alone in the dark with the tape recorder, I'm good.
That sounds funny, even though considering that you write romances and cozy mysteries, that you're sitting alone in the dark with a tape recorder.
Well, either to kill somebody or for the romance, it works.
I suppose it does. Great. All right. Well, we've got to know you a little bit more. So How do you describe your writing? And with your 100 books under your belt, are there any themes that you think that you like to explore?
I write about relationships, both family and romantic, usually in small towns.
And why do you think that you've chosen that setting and particularly?
I was an only child, but I came from a large Italian family. My dad had 10 on his side, and my mom had 7 on hers.
Whoa.
So I always was around cousins on weekends and aunts and uncles. And I think it's just a longing, you know, to have that family unit. Books were my company until I could drive and that kind of thing. But they were really my company. And so I think that's why I mostly do families. I also took, was partway through a counseling degree when I sold my first book. And I just find relationships fascinating, all kinds.
Fantastic. So over the course of your career, what do you think is the one thing that's been most helpful in improving your writing?
Writing every day. You can go to as many workshops as you want, but you have to incorporate that into your writing, and it's almost an instinctive thing, not something you can learn. I was an English major, so it wasn't difficult for me to begin writing books. But your storytellers are usually, they usually go by their instincts, and that's what I do. So writing every day helps hone your writing because you learn what works and what doesn't from feedback from readers and editors and that type of thing.
So you think that that really grows that instinct over time, so you'd be able
to... Now, I did have critique partners at the beginning, and now I have a beta reader who reads my mysteries first.
And now you're hybrid, so you're both traditional and indie published. You would have do you have an editor with your traditional publisher?
With my traditional publishing, I do.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent. So how long do you think it took before it really became instinctual?
I wrote 13 finished books before I was published. It took 6 years.
Wow.
So, and then I eventually sold 5 of them after the fact. So I'd say it took 4 or 5 books until I found my voice. So I found what I really wanted to write about and how to do it.
So it sounds also like there's some persistence required there as well.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Despite any rejections, just keep going.
Oh, the rejections came and came and came. Yeah, I mean, you either want to write or you don't. And if it's a passion, you keep doing it. Now you can self-publish, which is great. I'm mostly doing traditional publishing now. It's very difficult to have a foot in both worlds.
And why do you say that?
The promotion takes up so much time. I was finding myself spending 80% of my time on promotion rather than writing, and that wasn't what I wanted to be doing. With a traditional publisher, I do promotion, but it's not that all-consuming.
Yeah, I understand. So just going back to that persistence thing, what do you think helped you be so persistent for those 13 novels?
How to be focused. It was because I couldn't do anything else. I was, I had been active. I had been a bike rider. I swam laps. I went to a spa. And then suddenly, bed rest. And back then, they didn't think of rehab the way they do now. So I was flat on my back for 4 years until I chose on my own to go to rehab. And during those 4 years, I needed some creative outlet, an emotional outlet, and that's what the writing was for me. And that probably helped make it better.
So almost like a physical therapy.
Yes. Yes.
And mental.
Mental therapy, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So. Writing along with cats. That's my therapy.
or five cats?
Yes, five inside cats. They're all rescues.
Oh, what, you got more outside, have you?
Two, you know, brother and sister sibling who've been coming for 2 years and don't exactly trust us yet. 2 years. It takes patience. But they come in the morning and at night, and we keep them in at night when it's cold.
Wow.
It's a life.
You've written some of your cozy mysteries feature animals, don't they?
Yes, they do. The first cozy series, my sleuth took in stray animals and found homes for them. She was a home stager, but she was from an Italian background. She's my alter ego.
Mm. And a home stager is a...
Yes. Oh, it's a person who furnishes a house so it will sell faster.
Ah, yes.
They're also called fluffers. But my sleuth is a little different, is that she has high-end customers, so she does unique themes. She might do a Camelot theme or a bohemian fantasy theme, and then she has an open house with food and everything that goes with it. So it's a little more than just home staging.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard that before about how they talk about when you have an open house to put some bread in the oven so it smells, or, you know, some cinnamon or something so it all smells really homely.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
Okay, great. So are you trying any new techniques at the moment?
No. No, I don't know exactly what you mean by techniques, but I use my tried and true method. Except I've switched to the tech age. I used to have a notebook and put three scenes on each chapter when I was doing my synopsis. Now I use my iPad and I do it on pages, you know, that kind of thing. But it's still pretty much the same techniques because they work for me.
Mm. Well, with 100 novels, it sounds like you've got your process down right.
Pretty well, yeah. Because I have deadlines overlapping sometimes.
Mm. So how do you go with balancing that?
I used to be a perfectionist, but now I still am very aware of getting something done early. I've never turned in a manuscript late. I've always turned them in early. Mm-hmm. So I make sure I leave enough time. I'll say no to a contract if I know I can't fit it in.
Mm-hmm. Good. Okay, so let's talk about what you like to read. So what writers inspire you?
When I first was starting, I'd say Emily Loring, Glenna Finley, Kathleen Woodwife. Now, I always believe in reading a genre you don't write. I think it sharpens your skills. So that's a technique, if there is one. but I like Harlan Coben, James Grappondo, Jodi Picoult, Dan Brown, Adam Mitzer, that kind. Lisa Scottolini is one of my favorites.
So do you think that helps the cozy mystery side?
Yes. For one thing, it keeps me informed about technical advances in spy work and, you know, and that type of thing. But also just how they put a story together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk a little bit more about Murder with Lemon Tea Cakes.
Okay.
What inspired that?
I visited tea rooms for years, and I'm a proponent of alternative therapies, and different types of tea are part of that. So when my editor asked if I ever thought about writing a tea series, it seemed to be a natural fit. And I said it in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, because I wanted that ambiance of the Amish country and farmland and that type of thing all around it. I wanted it very different from my first series.
And so your first series, was that also set in Pennsylvania?
It's also set in Pennsylvania, but it doesn't have that go back in time feel. the heroin, the sleuths are very different, very, very different. This sleuth in Lemon Tea Cakes is a mom of two teenage daughters.
Mm-hmm.
So that it's a little more serious, I'd say.
Okay. But there's also plenty of tea and nice cookies.
Oh, yes. Because she and her aunt run a tea garden. And all of the women on her side of the family have flower names. So her aunt's name is Iris. Her name is Daisy. Her mother's name is Rose. Her two girls are Jasmine and Violet. And the two cats are Margarine and Pepper. Have to have cats in there.
But so did you say that this one's a little more serious than the Homestager?
Yes, simply because she's a mom of two teenagers. I think that's what makes it more serious.
Okay. And does it involve more of their trials and tribulations as well?
Yes. The younger daughter was adopted and she's 15, and it involves a search for her birth parents.
Mm, okay.
That's a sideline plot.
Mm. Great. I just wanted to ask a little question about the TV movie. So were you involved in the writing of the screenplay or anything to do with that?
You're coming in and out. So what was the question again?
Sorry. I just wanted to ask about the TV movie that came out at Christmas. Were you involved
yes.
in the production at all?
No. No, but when the editor went on set, she sent me who the characters were, who the stars were, and like a poster and pictures and that type of thing.
And then when you got to watch it, you were happy with the end result?
Oh, yes. I got a clip first, and when I saw that, I knew it was going to be fine because it was the right spirit. And then when I got a link to the finished movie before it came out, yeah, they kept when they make from a movie... a movie from a book, they have to, I guess, trim the plot line. Let's put it that way. So it's very different, but yet the basic characters are the same and the plot line is basically the same. And I was very pleased with it.
Fantastic. That must have been very exciting.
It was. I had a viewing party and it was great fun.
Excellent. Okay, well, you sound like you're a very busy woman, so I will let you get back to your work. So firstly, though, what are you working on right now?
Right now I'm working on the third Daisy Tea Garden mystery.
Mm-hmm.
And also a pet rescue romance for Harlequin.
Mm. Two on the go?
Yeah, I prefer to do one at a time, and I'm hoping I can finish the cozy before I really get into the pet rescue one.
Mm. Okay. Cool. All right, well, it sounds like you're busy, so I better let you go.
Well, thank you so much. This was fun.
No problem. So if people are interested in finding out more about you and all of your 100 books, where's the best place for them to find you online?
I have two websites, KarenRoseSmith, all one word, .com. And then KarenRoseSmithMysteries.com.
Mm-hmm.
I also chat with my readers on Facebook at Karen Rose Smith Books and on Twitter at Karen Rose Smith.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for sparing the time to talk to me today. It's been really fun.
It was.
Thanks, Karen.
Thanks for asking me. I appreciate that.
In my writing life, some weeks are better than others. Some weeks I'm all focused on my writing and seeing the long-term view. But other weeks, I feel like I'm wasting my time and I'm writing a big old pile of shit. One of the ways this self-doubt can manifest is through comparisonitis, basically comparing myself to others and feeling like I'm a failure. Some weeks it feels like every other writer I know is getting an agent or a book deal, hitting number one on Amazon, winning awards, etc., etc., etc. Everyone except for me. Now, maybe Stephen King and J.K. Rowling don't feel this way, but I'm sure I'm not alone. Now, one of the ways I combat comparisonitis is to get off social media. This is where people present their very best side, you know, their best Instagram filtered angle, their highs, their showreel. I try to shut down my social media and focus on my own work and get wrapped up in what I do. I also take a break from the writing world. I'll go for a walk, I'll laugh and hang out with fun people who have nothing to do with this silly writing business. I'll put the whole thing in context. You know, it's just words, it's just stories. It's supposed to be fun and, hey, we're not saving lives here, people. Comparisonitis is bad for a number of reasons. Stephen Pressfield would say that it's resistance in another guise. I'm generally comparing myself to someone else's showreel, someone who may have been slaving away paying their dues for 20 years to finally get their well-deserved break. I have no idea whether I'm comparing myself to someone with a lot more experience. This is also saying that I'm not happy with what I've got, what I've achieved. And I try to address this through doing gratitude journals and mindfulness meditation to focus on the moment rather than constantly living in a made-up future. As Eckhart Tolle says, stress is caused by being here but wanting to be there. And I don't know about you, but I can do without more self-induced stress. So when I feel the green-eyed monster taking over, I shut down Twitter, I go for a walk, I laugh at myself, and then get back to my little world wrangling. Thanks for listening to Ride Through the Roof. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe or spread the word by writing a review on your listening platform of choice. And if you'd like to get in contact with me, please go to madelinediest.com or madeline_diest on Twitter, no apostrophes. You can find the show notes for this episode on madelinediest.com under the Ride Through the Roof tab. And until next time, what are you going to do to improve your writing this week?